Hello, friends, and welcome to Between the Swings in 2025. Things look a little bit different, but we're back. We're back to celebrate the love that we have for the game of golf and the joy and peace that it brings in the moments between the swings. Our friend and co-producer host, Alex Beaverson, has taken on a new adventure. So you will see him still participate and be involved in content creation and the community that is Between the Swings. But as far as weekly podcasts, you're going to see our format and participants, Blake here, be a little bit different than what you're used to seeing or hearing if it's in podcast form. So with me today, we have newly full-time with us, assistant golf professional Blake Letellier. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic. Well, it's nice to have you. It's producer Blake, yes, for people who've been following us for a period of time. Now the man behind the camera is in front of the camera. Well, welcome to the Between the Swings in front of the camera experience.
I love it. I love it. It's definitely different being on this side of the camera, but I think that it's a fun little learning experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, awesome. Thank you for just the thoughts and passion about golf that you bring to the table. And we'll dive in and talk about some of those. We've had a change in calendar year since the last time we've recorded and produced an episode. And the one thing excited about 2025 is change.
Yes.
And most of the change that's announced in the golf industry happens around our big convention, the PGA Show. PGA Show happens in Orlando, Florida, and all the brands get together and make their big announcements for golf products and apparel and software and you name it. The whole industry gets crazy for this. And I want to talk about some things that we've found exciting at these shows. What was something that caught your eye at the PGA Show this week?
So there's a couple things I've been kind of keeping my eyes out. One thing I've been kind of looking forward to is the shaft company that I use for my current driver, AutoFlex.
Ooh.
Get it up in there. They're releasing a new shaft called the Auto Power.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's geared more towards people with a little bit higher swing speed and stuff, whereas this one, it's the stiffest one they make, and it's still a little bit noodly, but I'm kind of interested to try that out and see how that could kind of increase some distances with my drives.
That's exciting. Yeah, we've seen golf pros try it. We've seen people on the PGA Tour try it. It's big in the average everyday golfer's bag too. So yeah, AutoFlex. AutoFlex is exciting. I'm a big apparel guy. We always talk about that on here. So I'm always browsing through the exciting brands and what I like to see. I think Nike has made a small shift in kind of who they're trying to portray their company as. They've got some cool clothing out this year that we haven't seen from them in a little while. I don't have specifics, but I remember coming across that. And anytime new products drop, it's exciting. So we've got a new TaylorMade QI35 driver, Callaway's Elite driver, Cobra's new driver is supposed to be pretty dang good. And then of course, Ping, you know, built here in our hometown, is always one of the most forgiving products. As far as, you know, some things that are different or changing in 2025, Los Angeles has been impacted, you know, quite crazy by fires. So something that we're going to see this year on the PGA Tour that's so unique is they're going to be playing Torrey Pines in a 4 or 5 week period, right? Because they couldn't play at Riviera because of the fires that are going on in the Pacific Palisades. Mm-hmm. And the PGA Tour was able to say, hey, we'll still host, but we'll go back to where last week's tournament, as of this recording, at Torrey Pines in the San Diego area. So it's so unique that this sport is able to just change the venue and go back and see another one. But talk to me a little bit about, how do you think about playing one golf course for two different tournaments? What's something you're going to keep an eye out for?
Honestly, I think it's also really weather dependent. And
great answer.
So I would kind of look to the previous tournament and kind of see, you know, weather similarities, who is, you know, firing at it, like in the wind and stuff like that. And just because, I mean, we might have a little bit different weather this time around. And we want to kind of see, you know, who kind of hits it the best in certain types of weather.
Yeah, and I think last week there were some crazy wind gusts there. So yeah, the next time that they go back and play in a couple weeks, it might not be that way. So it's just a unique situation in the world of golf, yeah, where we get to see a pretty similar field. Now, the cool thing about both of these events is they have different participants. So now someone who was planning on traveling to the Los Angeles area is going to have to travel a couple hours south, go down to Torrey Pines, which is still a great track, mm-hmm, and compete there. So we'll have to keep our eye on it and follow up in podcast form and chat about how things went. Last week, it was Harris English, the longtime PGA Tour player, has been out there for a long time, University of Georgia grad, who grinded it out on the weekend to take home the victory. So maybe he plays well the next time, maybe he doesn't. Yeah. We don't know. One tournament that's in between both of these, and we're talking about the Farmers Insurance Open and the Genesis Open, is our beloved Waste Management Open, absolutely, the People's Open, and it's next weekend.
Oof, I'm excited.
Yeah, what's something that happens here in the Valley that you look forward to for the Waste Management Open?
You know, I just love the buzz. It feels like even a couple of years ago when we had the Super Bowl, we had Waste Management. It was just like everybody was just like, oh my gosh, we need to be down there. And it was kind of cool to be like down here when all of that was going on and stuff. It just makes you feel excited. You're like, I'm a part of like this huge event, you know what I mean? And Waste Management is one of the tournaments that I feel like a lot of players really enjoy going to. It's a little bit different. It's got kind of a little bit more hype to it, I would say, than a lot of other tournaments and stuff.
Yeah, we've talked about the tournament a lot in the past on here, and one of the things that we've said is it's one of the largest outdoor sporting events in the nation, if not number one. You know, there's times where it's 400,000 people, right? 100,000 people Thursday through Sunday on the days that these golfers are competing. Yeah. And that's not just fueled by Arizona residents. So, you know, almost a crazy amount of people are traveling from different states across the country to come to our home. And you said it very well. There's just this buzz. What I look forward to that's so fun is just going out to the grocery store or going out to dinner, and you just see golfers everywhere for just a 5, 6, 7 day period of time. Because from the time golfers roll in on Monday before the tournament to the time the champion is crowned on Sunday, it's 7 days of a 500,000 people who are just obsessed with golf.
Right. It's crazy. And to think about, so many people are coming from all over the world to come to this tournament, and then they in turn might come to our golf course and, you know, get to play around and get to experience what we're kind of all about over here. It's just kind of really cool to feel like this game allows us to reach all of these different people.
Yeah, well said. You go to the tournament, and when you see 100,000 people, you're going to get a diverse collection or a diverse group of people. When you get to that number or that volume of people, 100,000 is insane.
Yeah.
It's a lot. I mean, it's, you know, 2 or 3 major baseball stadiums. It's, you know, the largest football stadiums in the nation filled to 100% capacity. So to be at that event and look around and see people that you can tell are from different parts of the country, have wildly different jobs and experiences than you, but for those 4 days or even just that one day, you're gathered around the same exact thing. And what I love is welcoming people to our golf course who are, you know, wearing something from their hometown, because now we're talking about that. And talk to me about your golf course. what's the yardages? What's the design like? Is it more open? Is it more trees? Oh, you're in Kansas, so it's very windy. That's quite a bit different than our experience here, and we get to talk about that and share your experience with that.
Yeah, and one of the things about being down in the pro shop is I feel like a lot of times I get to spark off those conversations, you know what I mean? And a lot of times I can connect with a lot of those seasonal golfers that are coming in from different places because I'm not from Arizona originally. Mm-hmm. So they're like, oh, you know, you're from Minnesota. You get it there, bud. And I'm like, yeah, totally. So a lot of times it's fun to kind of reminisce and talk about, you know, courses from up there and stuff, and to hear their passion for those courses, as well as how much they enjoy coming down here as well. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it gives us something to shoot for as well, right? Because if they're coming here to talk about their home course when they're in that part of the country, well, we try and fight to be their home course when they're here in Arizona.
Absolutely.
So that when they're going back home, they're sharing the same stories, talking about us. And, oh, I got to tell you about this guy, Blake. He's always the one behind the counter when I'm checking in. And yeah, that's what makes this week and this time of the year special, right? It's from, you know, quarter one, January through March, 50 to 60% of our tee sheet is going to be from out of the state of Arizona. And it's so unique. And that is at its peak.
Yes.
I would say maybe 80% of our tee sheet is from outside the state of Arizona next week, next Monday through Sunday. So a lot of excitement, a lot of things to look forward to. Expectations are raised up quite a bit, right? So we do have to, you know, raise the bar and just provide the best service levels that we possibly can. You know, something I wanted to touch on is you've joined us in this golf professional role and full-time with us, and now we're stepping full-time into the golf season. We're full speed ahead. You've been doing this for a short period of time. I'd love for you to share with our listener, what are you excited about in this golf professional role, given that it's very new and different for you?
Yeah, I think it's a fun challenge. And it kind of, despite being a golfer, like coming into it, it still kind of put me out of my comfort zone, you know what I mean? And having a lot of experience with customer service, in the past also kind of helped, but it's a unique kind of like collision because you deal with so many people every single day and you're, you know, face to face with them. You have to kind of try to find a way to connect with them, because I mean, we're not the first person they see. The first person would be, I guess, the outside service. Mm-hmm. But we're trying to set them up for success for that day. Because a lot of times I come in, ask somebody how they're doing, and they're like, well, I don't know yet. We'll see how it goes. And so it's like I always feel like it's my job to try to at least get them started off on a good start. You know what I mean? Because if you're starting off on a bad note, you're not going to play a good round and you're going to end up not liking the course, or, you know, it's going to leave an impact on you. So I think it all starts with us at the beginning.
Yeah, no, very well said. Very well said. You've got the background. You've always been the golfer. You've got the customer service side in you, and you've been doing a fantastic job. You know, something that speaks to your character is, you know, when you were a member with us before you played, you'd come out at the most random times of the day and play with anybody and everybody. And you and I have talked a little bit about that in the past. Would you share a little bit about, you know, you it's so easy for you to just stand on the first tee box and meet another golfer and play with them. How is that for you?
You know, and in a lot of ways, I haven't been able to do that as much since I started working here.
Yeah.
So yesterday I actually, you know, just took the time and I stopped in and I was like, I'm going to play like 9 holes or something. And Steph was like, you can go out with, you know, one of these groups in here and stuff. So I just picked a random tee time and went out, and it was a couple of, you know, gentlemen in their 70s or something like that. And we just kind of hit it off, and I kind of showed them, you know, my way around the golf course and kind of tried to help guide them and almost be their caddy a little bit.
It's
a lot of fun for me to kind of be on that side of it. 'Cause it's like, I feel like this is my element. You know what I mean? I'm out here doing my thing, and it's so easy for me to be like, oh, you want to come in from this side. It's going to be a lot easier. Oh, there's trouble over there. You don't want to be over there. So it's a lot of fun, and it's a cool way to connect with the golfers,
right?
You know, because you don't often in other professions get to spend that much time with your clients. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's very true, right? You've got a considerable amount of time to connect with someone when you're out there on the golf course. It's not often that everyone gets a 2.5 or a 4.5 hour period, whether it's 9 or 18 holes, to spend time with someone. So yeah, it's so unique, and we get that opportunity to welcome the craziest, diverse group of people in age, in background, in everything. So yeah, it's really nice to be a part of that. And that's exactly what we continue to talk about as a team, and we try and make that difference.
Do we have any, I know you were talking about like clothing and stuff like that. Is there anything new that we've gotten that has kind of stood out for you or something in the pro shop?
Yeah, that's exciting. That's exciting. We've got, a lot of our buying is done at one time and months in advance.
Yeah.
In August, we do most of our buying at an apparel show that is for January through June. And then we have a February show that is July through January or July through December. Gotcha. So it's that time of the year where all of our decisions from August are now starting to arrive. So you're getting excited and surprised all over again. And we've got some new brands that we're going to be displaying. Original Penguin is an exciting brand. Australian Cam Smith is one who wears that. He's well known in that brand. Yeah. It's a fun, funky fashion brand I look forward to. I'm a big Johnny O guy, and we have the new Johnny O just dropped today. We'll be getting that on the shelves. A lot of our return favorites are coming back. The Nikes, the FootJoys. We partnered with True. True is from the Northwest. We did some hats and footwear with them. That's really exciting. I'm wearing a True hat right now.
Yeah.
January is the beginning of all of our new and exciting products. So all of that stuff has been filtering in for the last couple of weeks. Anything that you've seen that you've wanted to give a shout out to?
I mean, I've been loving all the new municipal stuff. I got this.
We did add municipal.
Oh yeah. And then I got the quarter zip. I got the sweatshirt in blue. I went kind of ham. Oh, and I got a new set of FootJoys, the Traditions.
Okay. Every pair of Traditions is just like a must have. They're comfortable. They go with so much. Yeah.
And I was like, camouflage. I got to get the camouflage FootJoys.
Oh, that's a good combo. That's a good combo. That's a pretty mean looking hoodie there. Yeah.
Thank you.
And I wear the same size, so we can't like always get the same things.
Right.
You got that. I got the cream, the cream sweater. So next time we'll play the different game.
Right.
We'll
just got to order two.
We should. There's no reason why we shouldn't, because we know either you or I is going to like it.
Exactly.
So got to leave one for the customer to actually buy one.
Exactly. Exactly. We don't want to hog it all, you guys.
Yeah.
Feel free to come in and buy.
We want you to rep our good looking stuff too. Yes. We want you to look good too. You look good, you play good, and then you embrace the moments.
Right.
We've talked a lot about 2025 and change and what's coming on with the year. Well, with New Year's, we talk a lot about resolutions. Talk to me about your golfing resolutions for 2025.
Yes. So recently I've been really trying to get dialed in. I've been playing a lot more. Right now I'm a high single digit handicap, around 8-9 or so. I want, by the end of the year, I want to be either a one or scratch.
I like that goal.
Yeah.
I like that goal. It's a hardy goal.
It's
a hardy goal, but I think you can get there. You know, working full time at a golf course, you have the ability to chip and putt and hit balls. And
absolutely. I was talking to Hunter about it, and I think it's important to have somebody that can kind of go along with you and hold you accountable almost. Yeah. So I was telling him the same thing. I was like, I'm going to be a scratch golfer by the end of the year. And
right.
He's like, I love it. We're going to work on it together. So we've been working on like mindset and stuff.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. I think when I did do a lot of teaching, mm-hmm. I was one that always had the philosophy that the mental mindset and the mental game, mm-hmm. it has to elevate before the physical game came.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise, how is your brain going to tell the muscles what to do,
right,
if you're not thinking appropriately? Yeah. So no, that's massive. And to go from an 8 or a 9 to a 0 or a 1, that's elevating and touching every aspect of the golf game, mm-hmm. right? If you want to improve 1 or 2 strokes, you can do that by focusing on 1. How do you plan on accomplishing that?
So one thing has been, that's been a major help has been how I approach the golf course in as far as like, I heard a quote online and he said something like, he hit a bad shot maybe. And it was just off the green on like a par 3. And he's like, well, that's a good opportunity for me to work on my short game. And I've been trying to just take that approach and mindset with any time I hit a bad shot or something like that. Well, this is a good opportunity for me. This is, you know, I can work on this, I can work on that. And I don't dwell on the bad so much anymore. And I found that that was what would bring me down. You know, I was so worried about the trouble or whatever happened, you know what I mean? That I lost where I was at, you know what I mean? And then it just declined from there. So
yeah, your ability to be present in the moment mm-hmm. kind of declined because of your emotional state.
Yeah.
That's powerful. And on Between the Swings, we talk a lot about that.
Yeah.
We talk a lot about how the game of golf so easily and so often parallels life. Mm-hmm. And how the situation that you have in front of you, there's nothing that you can do about your current situation, but you have this bag of tools and bag of experiences that you can rely on to try and get over it. There's no rules on which club you have to use. There's no rules on which experience or how you try to accomplish the shot. There's just rules on how you hold the club, how you do X, Y, and Z. You can use those 14 clubs to try and get the golf ball in the hole in any way, right? Yeah. So it's so great to hear you say that that's step number one. Right? Because what's exciting is there's no pictures on a scorecard. So even if you've missed the green, now you have the opportunity to hit a great chip shot. Whereas if you were a foot closer and you were on the green, maybe you weren't as emotionally upset over that shot because you were more comfortable with putting, but now your approach has, you know, kind of allowed you to overcome the obstacle of your own emotion.
Exactly. And honestly, it's whenever I play, I expect myself to chip in at least once a round.
Yeah.
That's just like kind of like a rule I set for myself. So it's like just another one of those opportunities to chip in for birdie or something like that. And you might end up, you know, two putting if you're on the green, making a par. And here's a chance you could, you know, somehow get that bird.
No, that's exciting. That's exciting. We'll have to keep in touch with your journey and see how things are going for you too. Yeah, I'm currently a 1.6, or at least I was a 1.6 at the end of 2024, and I haven't played a lot of golf. So I need to, my resolution is just to keep playing golf. I'm actually very excited to be going on a golf trip with my dad and some other GM friends of mine.
Okay.
We're going to Ireland to play 4 rounds of golf in Ireland. And in those 4 rounds of golf, if I could be better than 10 under par, I would be ecstatic, right? So what's that? 2.5 pops per stroke that I have. So it's going to require a lot of, 2.5 pops per course that I play.
Yeah.
It's going to take a lot of practice. It's going to take a lot of making sure I'm in good shape, because we'll probably be walking those golf courses over there.
Yep.
It's in May, so it should be, you know, some pretty solid weather, but, there's a lot of pressure whenever, you know, you spend a lot of time and effort and money booking these major golf trips, right? Yeah. Because you want to perform well. So right. Yeah, I'm looking forward to just really trying to perform well when I do go on that golf trip. It's going
to
be fun.
Awesome. Is there anything that you're doing to kind of prepare for that? Or
the number one thing that I am doing is our friend of Between the Swings fame, Alex Beaverson. Mm. He got me a perfect putting mat for okay. Christmas.
Okay.
And I put on that every day.
Nice.
I try and put on that every single day. Right now, my record from 8 feet is 40 in a row. Ooh. on the regular size cup. It's like 15 or 16 on this small cup.
Okay.
I think my goal is if I can make 100 putts a night from 8 feet on my perfect putting mat, I should feel pretty confident of putting when I go to Ireland. And nice. And that's what a lot of the game is built around over there. They don't have these 7,000 yard golf courses. It's going to be very difficult to find fairways. It's going to be very difficult to get up and down. So it's going to test my game in ways that our golf courses here really don't. So yeah, it's putting. I'm going to obsess over putting.
Right. That's kind of the one main consistent thing that you're going to have when you get over there, just because it is so different. You know, it's totally links style, the wind you've got to deal with. I mean, I don't know which courses you're playing at, but I'm sure some of them, the rough is going to be like, crazy fescue. You know?
Spoken like a true golf professional, right? No matter how we have to get the golf ball onto the putting surface, we still have to put the ball into the hole, right? That's the game of golf. So if you can master that, you know, once we get over there, you'll figure it out. Figure it out. Maybe it's more irons off the tee instead of driver. So the four courses that we're playing, and I need to do more research to see what they look like, is it's Ballybunion, the old course, Lahinch, Waterville, and Tralee. And all of these are along the west coast from the middle of the country down to the south of the country, I believe. So it's going to be a wild experience. We'll take video and photo along with us. So you that are listening, you can be a part of the trip and see. Cameras won't be following us into the Jameson Distillery, but they'll follow us to the golf course though.
Right.
Yeah. The Jameson Distillery, that's off camera. Time of the day.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Just if you have any expectations, we'll tell you about it afterwards, but no cameras for evidence.
Yep. Absolutely.
Well, this wraps up, you know, the 19th episode of Between the Swings. First one with producer Blake on the front side of the camera.
All right.
Who knows who's going to be sitting in that seat over there next week, but we look forward to seeing you then. If you can't get out and enjoy 18 holes, make a few putts in the backyard, make a few putts down the hallway, whatever you need to do to just enjoy the game. Be well, stay happy, and stay healthy.